on today's Into Your Head podcast. Hello. Something about the Sistine Chapel being comparable to a box bedroom, and something about ginger nuts, and something about, the usual and lots more. Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head number 745. We've a lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. Oh, topics. We've got lots and lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics. We've got topics coming out of this half-eaten bag of this half-eaten pack of Tesco Everyday Value Ginger Nut Biscuits. I'll say it's half-eaten. The half that's left has not been eaten at all in any way. The half that's been eaten, it's probably halfway down the toilet by now. It's probably halfway down the toilet. Just like the economy, just like everything that you can make a metaphor out of involving toilets, which covers a multitude, I can tell you. Some more being eaten now. I don't know if it's obvious from what I've just said, but I'm eating a ginger nut biscuit. Cramming it into my face. So I might pause until I'm finished eating biscuits and then come back to you. Ah, hello, it's me again. An update on the biscuit situation. Ate two of them. Or was it three? It might have been three, I'm not sure. They're very small. The Tesco ginger nut biscuits are very... They don't even call them biscuits. They just say ginger nuts. It says on the label, these are ginger nuts. It doesn't even say these are ginger nuts. It just says ginger nuts. It's implied that these are ginger nuts. I suppose that's reasonable. That's how labels have worked for a long time now. You put the name of what's in them in the package. You put that on. You don't have to say these are ginger nuts. It's not the 1920s, although maybe it should be. Back in the 1920s, there were a lot more formal about that sort of thing. You go and get a newspaper, and instead of it just starting with a headline at the top of the front page, I would say hello. People would say hello in those things. They'd say hello and welcome to today's newspaper. The following, in the order of descending importance, as determined by our editor, are the top news stories of the day, starting with the following, and then there'd be a colon, and then it'd have the first headline. I assume it's like that anyway. I haven't read any newspapers from the 1920s. Although it's probably seen a few here and there every now and then you see them in the shop and they'd be heavily discounted. I remember back when I was about 12, I'd go into a little local shop in the town where I lived and there'd be a man selling 3 and 4 week old editions of the comics that I was getting new editions of, and you'd have to buy a discount. You'd have to a discounted price written in biro on each one, or else you'd bring it up to him and he'd say, oh, this is an old one, hold on now, and you'd see him thinking, you'd see his brain working, an 80 something year old man, you'd see his brain ticking away there saying, let's see, he's a business, clearly a businessman who's run a business for a very long time. So his brain would be on autopilot going, let's see, what's the discount I apply to this now? And then you calculate it in his head. These were the days before you needed a calculator for everything, I can tell you. Your brain is a calculator. Doesn't even need batteries. Well, it just needs oxygen, I suppose. And unlike a calculator, when you take the oxygen batteries out for more than a few seconds from the brain, then you're banjaxed. Having a calculator, if you take the batteries out, although you usually can't. But if you could take the batteries out of a calculator, wouldn't be dead. It would just be not working for a minute. That's a design flaw in human beings. You can't just power down for a few minutes and power back up again. Although modern medical science is helping that. You know exactly what I mean, don't you? You probably do anyway. I mean, if you don't, sure, well for you. If you've no experience in that field, I've no experience in that field really either, but so isn't it well for all of us? Well, we have another biscuit if we want. Because it'll be dinner time in a while, and I'll have ruined my appetite. Apparently I'll never ruin my appetite for ginger nut biscuits, because I keep grabbing this one here without even thinking. I could eat ginger nut biscuits all day, every day, and not grow tired of them ever. I'd probably get tired of this particular discount brand, but I get a better one. They have decent ones in Lidl. You go down to Lidl, they have a biscuit section, and you go up to the biscuits and you say, "Hello, which biscuits will I buy?" And the biscuits don't reply, because it's a low-cost supermarket. They don't have talking biscuits. Maybe they do, but you pay extra for them. They charge the hilt for expensive things, and their people associate Lidl with being cheap. Lidl have all sorts of joints of duck face and things like that in their freezer section at very high prices. You can go into Lidl and get half a venison. I can tell you, you'd pay half a venison for it. It'll be on the price. It'll say, cost half a venison. Please pay in euros, though. Pay in euros. You'll translate the price to euros, because paying half a venison for half a venison isn't really practical. Although at least now they take Visa debit cards. They didn't used to, so they take Visa debit cards and cash, just not half venisons or full venisons. I suppose it's progress. It's progress. Anyway, on with the show. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, I've noticed something about Into Your Head podcast. And I'm thinking, he's on to me, or he or she is on to me. He's noticed something about my podcast. I wonder, should I let him know that I can hear his thoughts and then offer to answer any questions he may have? Or would that freak him out as a listener if I point out I can hear his thoughts? That's what I'm thinking. And you're thinking, I've heard on the show before where he's able to hear listeners' thoughts, so he's probably listening to this, so hopefully he'll answer it on the next show, which is very helpful to me. Thank you very much. The podcast has been increasingly de-regular lately. I've been busy with other things. Don't panic, it's not going away. It's had several periods in Into Your Head history. There's been periods when it's been on every day for 5.5 months. There's been periods where it hasn't been on for over a month. There's been periods where there's been invasions of Iraq during Into Your Head history, but those haven't been anything to do with the production schedule. Anyway, suffice to say, these things go in waves, and at the moment we're having a wave of increased irregularity in the schedule. So don't worry your pretty little head about it. Gives you a rest from me for a while, so you can go and explore other podcasts and do other things, such as, for example, you could go down to your local Lidl and say, Hello, are you the expensive biscuits? And if the expensive biscuits answer you and say no, then you know they're lying. But if you don't get an answer at all, then you know they're probably not the expensive biscuits. Unless they're in an unchatty mood, in which case they're probably going to get sent to the reject bin. And of course, that'll push the prices up. If there's wastage in the expensive biscuits section in Lidl and they have to bear the cost of that, then that's going to push the net price per unit up. Unfortunately, that's how the retail industry works out here in the real world with the talking biscuits. That's how it works. So get over it. Anyway, on with the show. Two ginger nut biscuits walk into a bar. One of the ginger nut biscuits goes straight up to the bar counter and says, Hello, can I have a pint of your finest cup of coffee to dip myself into, please? And the man behind the bar says, I'm sorry, you can't bring in your own snacks in here. Unfortunately for you. It's not unfortunate for me at all. It helps me to make a frigging living. I'm trying to earn a living here. This is my livelihood, this public house. Or a profession as my livelihood. You want to come in here and just dip yourself in coffee. Then what? What are you going to do? Eat yourself? That's going to find that hard to do, because the more you try, if you dip half of yourself into the coffee, then you're going to become soggy. And if you're not careful, you'll be going to be there bending yourself around, trying to figure out how to consume yourself. And that's going to make you're going to lose firmness in yourself, and you're going to just become soggy and fall into the coffee, and then you'll never get yourself eaten that way, I can tell you. And then we're going to have to drain you out and wait for you to draw you out at the bottom of the coffee cup. But maybe, I suppose, we could put you in the base of a cheesecake then or something, but the health and safety regulations probably wouldn't allow that. You're not allowed to not waste stuff. If one of my customers is a ginger nut biscuit and he disintegrates into his coffee, and then I pour the coffee out and let the dry ginger nut biscuit at the bottom dry out and try to use that in a cheesecake for tomorrow's lunch snacks, desserts, whatever you call them. Desserts, I suppose. If it's a lunch, you don't need a snack, so we'll sell you as a dessert then. But no, the health and safety would say, no, you can't be just scraping food off. You can't be just making left. Although they'd probably say, on a person off the record, I admire your creativity. That's what they'd say. But they'd also say, no, the food service outlet has no place for this sort of thing. You should go and make a podcast out of it instead or something. Anyway, Ginger Nut Biscuit says, I suppose that's reasonable. What if I mean as well as say, in other words, I say honestly that I just want the coffee to drink. I'm not going to dip myself into it. And the barman says, how are you going to drink it without dipping yourself into it? And the ginger nut says, I could have a straw. I think there was a cat knocking on the studio door there. I say studio. It's a box bedroom in a three-story semi-detached house at the arse end of County Kildare. It's not a fucking studio. Although I do have the word studio in the email address. studio@intoyourhead.com. That's only because nobody can spell my first name, though. And I'm not going to give them a chance to get it wrong. It's either that or set up 88 different email addresses with every possible misspelling of my first name in it. I've tried that before, I can tell you, and no matter how many times I did it, I kept thinking of new ones. I kept waking up in the middle of the night and thinking of a new permutation that involved yet another misspelling of my first name, and had to go and set up another address for that too, and set it to forward. No, far better to just say studio, even though it's technically not a studio, even though technically it is. If you record something in it or do something artistic in it, then it's a studio. If I was Michelangelo here, you wouldn't say, oh, that's not the Sistine Chapel, that's just your spare bedroom. No, Michael, because Michelangelo would say, this may be my spare bedroom, but it's where I do my painting when I'm not in the Sistine Chapel. Let's say I want to do a mock-up of it before I put it on the ceiling, because you don't want to be painting your church ceiling without having practiced it before, because that's going to happen then. If you do it wrong, you're going to have to... Well, you're not going to be just able to paint over it, although maybe you are. Can you paint over stuff? You probably can, but you have to wait for it to dry out. You'll be waiting around, because in those days, paint technology was several hundred years behind what it is now. Paint probably never dried at all in those days, although obviously it dried at some point, because the stuff in the Sistine Chapel is dry now. Well, maybe it didn't dry until a few years ago. Has that occurred to you? I don't know. Probably hasn't, but it has now. I've made it occur to you, although you're being dishonest now if you say it has occurred to you now, because it hasn't. I put it into your head. It didn't occur to you naturally at all. So let's be honest now. Anyway, where was I? Oh, with the ginger nut. The ginger nut biscuit in the bar. Whatever. That wasn't really a serious segment to be taken in any way serious. It should have been obvious from the fact that I had a talking ginger nut biscuit talking about consuming himself. And oh no, that's ridiculous. That sort of thing has no place in any sort of... that's only for some sort of weird Nickelodeon cartoon that your kid watches. Is it Nickelodeon? I don't know. Whoever Thermomix, the SpongeBob things. That's what the children watch nowadays. They watch SpongeBob and they were like talking biscuits and all sorts of weird crap. If I'd watched that when I was a child, I would have had nightmares. I would have had some nightmare whereby the sponge fella comes along and says, "Here's, you want some biscuits? You like ginger nut biscuits, don't you? Here." And then you'd cram them down your throat until you choke, and then you'd wake up screaming, and then you'd never eat another biscuit again. Which I suppose in a way probably would have been good for me if I'd been scared out of eating biscuits when I was a child. But no, we didn't have multi-channel in those days. Back when I was a child, until I was around 6.5 years of age, you just had RTE1 and RTE2 through an aerial, and then we moved to another place where you had 6 channels, but 2 of them were the same. And then a few years later we got cable and we had 12 channels, but one of them was MTV and another one was a weird sports channel. I don't do sports and I don't watch sports. If you don't do sports, you shouldn't be watching sports, because that makes you a hypocrite. You could be, if you claim to be in favour of sports and you watch them but you won't do them. No, and don't give me that crap where you say watching sports is itself a sport. It is not. It's not even a spectator sport, because there's nobody watching you watching the sports. So don't give me that crap. Give your crap to someone else. In fact, give all of your crap to someone else. Don't just not give me that crap. Don't give me any of your crap. I want nothing to do with it. Was that the doorbell? I doubt it very much. It sounded like doorbell. I don't think it was. If it was, whoever rang it, rang it too short, so it sounds like a cat scraping itself against something out in the landing or something. I don't know. Better not be someone ignoring my no sales call sign, because if it is, I go down and give them a good slap round the head, metaphorically, not physically. I don't assault people that come to my house, even if they are ignoring my no sales calls request. It's more of a demand than a request. I don't approve of sales calls in my house. This isn't a freaking shopping mall. It's a home. I live here. I live and breathe here. It's not a place for you to come and make money out of me. This house already makes enough money. Fucking the amount I contribute to the bank for the mortgage. This house is generating more than enough. It's probably generating more money than your average mini strip mall does, for all I know, during the recession anyway, because they're all out of business. Everyone's out of business. You go down my local town now, it's all shops saying, with signs up saying, "We have gone out of business. We are no longer viable." Can you imagine if they did that in hospitals? You went in and they said, "You've got no money. You're no longer viable. Come here and I'll shove this tube down your throat." And not in a good way either. In a bad way. Maybe you'd have a tube down your throat already and they'd shove it down further, or they'd pour something down it that's not good for you or something. I don't know the exact details of how they do it, and even if I did know, I wouldn't broadcast it here and give people instructions on how to kill their patients in hospitals. No. If you're a surgeon in here and you want the instructions on how to kill your patients, you're just going to have to do a Google search like everyone else. I'm not going to make it easy for you. I have a bit of civic and social responsibility on my show here. May not be as regular as it used to be. It may not be whatever it may not be. In fact, it probably isn't whatever. In fact, no, it may not. There's a lot of things that this podcast may not be, but you'll probably find that if you made that list, made an exhaustive list of all the things that this podcast might not be, some of them would also appear on the list of things that this podcast is. Because I could say this is a podcast, and you could say this may not be a podcast, and we'd both be right. So you'd have to make a Venn diagram and put a lot of stuff in the middle. And then of course, if you make a Venn diagram and you don't plan in advance how you're going to draw it, and you don't leave yourself enough space in the parts to have a lot of things in them, you don't need leave yourself enough space to write stuff in there. That is just not going to work. It's going to look ridiculous. The whole point of an illustration is to make stuff easier to interpret, not more difficult. So think about your Venn diagrams before you draw them. I used to have this problem in college, a frigging accountancy school. You'd have people writing stuff up on the board, the whiteboard or the chalkboard or whatever they had, and they get halfway down and they'd go, oh, I'm running out of space. I'm just going to write this in tiny writing down here in the bottom so no one can read it. Even the people in here, who are supposed to be reading it, they can't read it, but who cares? We'll just do everything sloppily. We'll just do everything sloppily and not do our jobs properly, and then we'll fail everybody. I was certainly failed by that college course, although it was more to do with me having no interest in the subject matter than anything else. It wasn't really the fault of the fella writing too small. He meant well, I suppose. He probably did mean well, did he? I remember him stopping me from going out of an exam an hour before it was due to end. He's saying, are you giving up already? I'd say, I'm not giving up at all. I don't think I said anything like that. I said, no, I'm done. I'm done. And then I went home and he probably heartbroke my financial accounting lecturer. I don't know. That's his job. If it's his job to be heartbroken by failing students who are failing, then so be it. He's well paid for it. It was a private college.
Into your head.
Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener. Email Neil at studio@intoyourhead.com.
Are you a cat? Or do you know somebody who might be? Then tell yourself about Matchstick Cats, Neil's webcomic. Brand new episodes at intoyourhead.com.
Non-commercial residential houses walk into a bar. One of the non-commercial residential houses goes straight up to the bar counter and says, hello, can I have a pint of your finest Guinness, please? And the man behind the bar says, sir, your front door says no sales calls. And the house says, it's okay, I'm not at home at the moment, and I'm approaching you, not the other way around, so it's not an unsolicited sale. And the barman says, if you're sure. And the house says, I am sure, I'm very sure indeed, I'm very sure of myself, I've got good solid foundations. And the man behind the bar says, you do realise you've left your foundations to come here, that means that it mightn't be quite as solid as you think. And the house says, I think you'll find I'll be still there intact when I get back to my site. That's how solid they are. I may not be solidly glued to them, but that's fine. As long as they're there, we'll always have hair. And the man behind the bar says, what's that supposed to mean? And the house says, I don't know, I'm a house. I think I was degenerating into song, or ascending into song, depending what way you look at it. I was going... Oh, I'm a house. I'm a house. I thought there'd be more capacity or potential for vocal lyrics from this concept, but apparently not. I'm a house. Ah, bollocks. That's not going anywhere. I'm sure I used to be a lot better at making up songs on this podcast. They've gone to hell lately. It's fucking ridiculous. I've lost all my song composing on the fly abilities. I don't know. Maybe it needs a rethink. Probably does. Not that I ever thought about it in the first place. So if I were to rethink it, that would be in itself a new approach. approach, I suppose. So maybe it needs a new approach, just like an airport. But if you have an airport and you run out of space, you build a new approach runway, or else you make the planes approach it from a different side and land at the other end of the runway. Although what good would that do? I don't know. That's why I don't work in an airport or run in it. Although not that everyone who runs in an airport needs to know how to design it. Not everyone who works there. The people who sell the magazines in the shop do just as an important job as the people who design the runway, and they don't know how to set up an approach to a runway, and they don't need to, so it's fine. Don't be going attacking them. Next time you're in an airport in a bad mood because you're travelling by air, don't go up to the magazine people, sales people, just because I mentioned it, and say, oh, your design of this airport is terrible. Now, I know you've nothing to do with it yourself, and it's not your responsibility, but still, the runway up there is designed arseways. Don't do that to those people. They don't deserve that crap from you or from anyone else. Have a bit of respect for your fellow human being. They work in a fucking airport. You just have to spend 3 hours in one. They be grateful for that. Be grateful for small mercies. In fact, be grateful for everything. Go up to everything and say, oh, thank you, everything. Or if you feel like, whatever way you want to look at it, thank whatever gave you the things, or thank the things directly, or say to the things, hello, whoever sent you, please send my time. Like if you're in a restaurant and someone says, oh, the waiter comes up to you and says, oh, that fellow over there has paid for this pint for you. You'd say to the pint, you'd say, please go and tell whoever bought you thank you. Although that wouldn't work, because the pint isn't going to go back to the fellow who bought it for you. So, you know, I'm sure you can think of some way to do it. There must be some way to do it. Just put your mind to it. If you put your what's that thing to say? If you put your mind to it, your hearts and mind will follow. No, if you grab them by the balls, their hearts and minds will follow. Is that from Yes Minister? I think it is, but I think it's a bastardization of an older phrase from something else. I could probably look it up here now if you wanted me to. But you probably have Google too if you're able to download a podcast. So you look it up. You look it up. I've better things to be doing. I have to go and prepare. What am I preparing in a while? Crispy aromatic duck. I'm preparing crispy aromatic duck for dinner. I'm going to put the duck in the oven. I'm going to chop up some vegetables. I'm going to put whatever it... Oh, I'm going to do whatever it says to do with the pancakes. Then I'm going to make some sort of an accompaniment, and then I'm going to shove her onto a couple of plates and shove one of the plates into my wife's face and say, eat that, put that into your gob and it'll do you a bit of good. It's a balanced meal. Well, not really all that balanced, I suppose, but it's for a Friday evening, for Christ's sake. You don't have balanced stuff on a Friday evening. Have your meat and tree veg crap every other day of the week, not on a Friday. Friday evening is when you eat crap. You shove crap into your mouth and you eat it. You go choo 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 choo, like the train used to go when you were a child and people were describing it to you in the nursery. They'd say, oh, the train goes choo 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 choo, and then they'd use that as a trick to shove a spoonful of cabbage into your mouth. They go choo 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 and then into the tunnel choo choo. Of course, if you said that to a child outside of that context, you'd be arrested, and quite rightly too. Although maybe wrongly, because maybe it were being misunderstood. I don't know. That's the thing with these metaphors. It all depends on what you mean by them. And until you have mind readership, we're not going to be able to figure that out. Or I suppose a lie detector, I don't know, might help in some way. Although I can't imagine how. Anyway, good morning.